little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
We might do the spectrum prompt exercise next, because I think that will then underlie some of the others. So, and this is obviously something that, with the recording, it would be possible to, you know, we could have a version of this available for people. So, when we're trying to gather information, this wouldn't necessarily come in the various headings on our map of information gathering. Well, from inviting patients, you know, 1 to 5. We have at our disposal a range of prompting behaviours. So these are behaviours which are obviously verbal behaviours, but actually it's wider than verbal behaviours. So there's a wide toolkit of behaviours that doctors can employ, which, you know, will be followed by patient disclosure. And we can list these from the most open to the most closed. So, of course, you're familiar with the notion of open and closed questions. And I don't want to, you know, I mean, questions are a very significant part of the toolkit, but actually, as we will remind ourselves, it is wide, this spectrum is wider than just questions. So, in a second, I'm going to invite some suggestions for the list, but I am going to put open and closed questions on there first. I'd like to discuss those specific things with you, and then once we've dealt with questions, I'll open it up and invite your contributions, and we'll see what we come up with. So I'm going to put an open question here, obviously quite near the top, but probably not exactly at the top, and I'm going to put a closed question right down at the bottom. A closed question is the most closed thing that we can employ where we're still wanting the patient to contribute, yeah? So let me ask you, could I just have 2 or 3 examples of an open type question?
How are you?
Yeah. Mm. Okay, I'm liking that.
Any thoughts about
going
on?
Yeah, it's really open.
Tell me more.
Okay, that's interesting. Mm. Yeah. I guess if you ask, can you tell me more, that would be. I'll have tell me more as a specific. There are some things we use, sort of short words or short phrases to basically, you know, keep right out of it. I see, go on, okay, can you tell me more? Yeah. So I think those are probably worth putting a sort of encouraging word or phrase, yeah?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we'll have those as a specific thing, and then, you know, how are you, what's been going on, that type of stuff is very open.
And what do you want to discuss today?
But that's very nice, yes, yeah. I like that. Mm-hmm. Is that how you start?
Yeah, because they told me that if you say, how can I help you, you're implying that you're helping the patient.
Yes, and you might not be able to.
Yes.
No, I quite like that one. Yeah. What would you like to discuss today? I think, you know, if we could get away with it, what's up? Mm-hmm. We'll be able to help, wouldn't it? Okay.
I prefer yours now then.
Yes. It is quite nice stuff, isn't it? Now, at the other end of the spectrum, so a closed question, a properly constructed, fully closed question, has a correct answer. Often just a one-word answer, but yeah. So could I have, you know, let's hear 2 or 3 examples of these.
Do you have any pain?
Okay.
Where is the pain?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How long has it been going on, for example?
Yeah. Okay. Now, you see, the interesting thing about these, how long, they're nearly closed, but slippery patients can get through the net with all of them, can't they? How long, you know, a really close version of that was, what day did it start?
Yes.
Saturday is closed. How long? Oh, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks. Where do I start? Do you know what I mean? It is quite interesting, this as well. Closed questions don't work straight away because patients want to relate a narrative, and they will subvert a closed question to do that if you use premature closed questioning. I mean, you can go down, if you've got a bit of narrative, you can go narrative open, closed, and then go back to, right, let's move on, tell me more about this. So, you know, within micro sections of the consultation, you can ask a closed question and then open it up again. But in any given area, if the closed question, there has to be some narrative first. Typically.
Is it like if you're going to be signposting someone towards asking red flags, say, for back pain, and you're saying something like, I need to ask you a few quick screening questions with just a yes-no answer.
Yes.
Just to make sure there's nothing
serious. Absolutely. That is definitely the thing to do. But if you do that too prematurely, if they haven't felt that you've listened first, then those won't work.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's done later on, to, you know, close down some specific areas, then patients are more likely to cooperate, and even more so if you signpost them. So if you're going to move into a phase of closed questioning for whatever reason, signposting it is a potentially good idea. It lets the patient know what to expect, you know, just some yes-no type questions just to make sure we've got everything here, or some yes-no questions just to make sure everything's safe. Mm-hmm. It's probably worth having a direct questioning signpost and a red flag signpost that aren't quite the same. You know, if you want to, you know, really remind yourself and encourage the patient of the structure. There is another thing that has only recently come to me when I've been working with audiences with this. Does anyone ever use a multiple choice type question with patients? If I suggested that to you,
you mean like do you smoke or drink alcohol?
Sometimes if I'm trying to find out the duration of someone's symptoms, and I already anticipate that they're not going to be specific, so I might say, okay, are we talking hours, days, weeks?
That's exactly the sort of, would you say that the pain's getting worse, better, or about the same? Mm-hmm. So we use they're pretty close things, but they're not close to a single answer. If I call those MCQs and I put them down the bottom, there's a type of question that I think we might have alluded to here but not necessarily got, which is sort of, people have labelled middling types of questions with semi-open and semi-closed and things. Well, I don't really think that they add very much, those labels. There is a label that does add something here, I think. We use quite a lot of questions of the type, can you tell me more about that pain? Yeah? Can you tell me more about that, what happened on Saturday? And this label, I found this label very helpful for those. Open directed question.
Yeah.
Yeah? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, it is possible to direct the focus quite narrowly, but still invite an open contribution. And this is an important tool for controlling the patient's contributions in a time-efficient way. So if you find that the information gathering phase of your consultations runs over a bit, then it is likely that studying how you form these questions and putting more direction into your open questions will improve things for you. I would go further. I think it's a certainty, and it is probable that if you just, you know, if you get these consultations on video or audio, you just study when you're asking these open, tell me more about it type questions, and see whether you could direct them more whilst still leaving them open. And the answer is almost certainly going to be yes. And actually, normally you don't need much help then. Once you know that you're looking for that, it's usually fairly obvious. Certainly, just, you know, if two of you are looking, you can probably make a lot of progress with it. So I personally found this a very helpful label myself, because as a relatively new GP, I was struggling with that. And when I learned this label, I instantly knew what I was trying to do. And I, you know, as soon as you think, oh, I'm just putting more direct, so instead of tell me more about the pain, oh, well, it all started back in 1953. You say, can you tell me about the pain from over the last week or so? It appropriately narrows the focus and makes it easier for the patient to give information in a timely way. Yeah? You're liking that, aren't you?
Yes, I do. Actually, this reminds me I think we've been discussing it, Marie, that like during the CSA, if you use this phrase about tell me more, somebody has said, the actor or actress would say, what do you want to know?
Yeah.
Will
they? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they wouldn't, you know, open up unless you specify.
You've got to be more specific. Right?
Yes.
Well, in the real world, tell me more is a bit of a dangerous question.
Yeah.
There are some patients, well, how long have you got? Well, I said, I've got to tell you everything. So figure that out. Well, I feel now that we've covered questioning, and we've already got an extra, you know, an extra suggestion outside of it. So now I'm looking for, so let me just remind you what a prompt is. Any behaviour, verbal or otherwise, that we can use as doctors, which will be followed by a patient contribution. So I'm throwing it open to the floor for suggestions.
I tend to try and use silence.
Specifically
at the beginning of the consultation, after the introduction and settling down. It works sometimes, and it will just set them off, and sometimes it leaves you with a bit of a gap.
Yeah.
But I think you can judge it with most patients.
Yes. And so you find out generally, you know, you work, and if it looks like it's going to be awkward, you can kind of spot them.
Yeah, you can just think, right, okay, they're not going to start, so I'll use a different approach. But, yeah, I think a lot of patients respond to it.
Yeah. general view, and sometimes in the middle as well, if there's a bit of a pause, if you can see the patient thinking, then, you know, an attentive silence is actually quite a productive strategy, and you just, you know, if there's, you know, that the way patients look, you know, people look away and they're obviously thinking, then just, you know, let them finish, and you probably need, you know, if you wait, they'll start again.
On the whole, it works really well in real life, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you can judge who it's going to work on and who it's not. But it not necessarily in the CSA. Because they seem to need a prompt of some sort or another. But by all means, try it. But I think from the descriptions that people that have spoken to me about their exam successes and their scenarios, often there's a pregnant pause that goes on a bit longer than it should do, which can be awkward.
That's my understanding too, from having debriefed. I achieved the same. But I think if you also hold the, if I don't, when we get right to the end, when we finish elaborating the spectrum, and I'm about to sit down, if I don't come back specifically to that point, please bring me back to it, Keith, because I have got a when we finished, I've got a suggestion that might also help people feel able to risk that a little bit and still manage it. Right, good. So without permission, I put it right at the top. I feel that sitting quietly and waiting for the patient may be the most open thing we can do. It's hard to imagine something more open.
I think, like usually, I use, I don't know, like when they go, say, golden minute, everybody do it like differently. But I found that I was like, even if I throw like a sentence, like I said, what do you come to discuss today, and then give them like a minute.
Yeah, that's right.
And then maybe start with open directive, because you give them a minute, they give you like more of like what they're coming for.
No, that's absolutely right.
I know for the exam, maybe it's not going to work, but in real life...
No, I think that will work in the exam. Mm. The you know, there will be an initial script that the actors have been trained to do. If you're you know, invited in the right way, they'll come out with it. And you certainly shouldn't interrupt that in the context of the CSA, because there'll be clues and hints in it. It'll be carefully thought about. And so that's definitely the right thing to do, Zia. Definitely, no question. What I'm interested in, this begs the question for me, you're not sitting there impassively during the golden minute, are you? You're
nodding.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Mm. Making little noises. Yeah. So if I put kind of... gestures and encouraging noises in that gap in the middle, nods and gestures, let's say, here, and encouraging noises. Is that all right? They've been called facilitative grunts by a previous audience. They're technically known in linguistic terms as non-lexicographical utterances, which just means noises that are not semantic words, doesn't it?
It's quite ironic to have such a long time.
Well, you can just imagine the linguist who came up with that and enjoying saving the irony, can't you? So that's our toolkit there.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusion.